From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Before the Americans with Disabilities Act, people who had accessibility issues were often just out of luck. But since that landmark law, reasonable accommodation to those with such issues has become a way to provide access throughout the nation. Even so, challenges still exist, and often the ADA is just a starting point for accommodation. Today on the show, you'll hear from the leadership of Travel Lane County on the ways they have worked and are working to make indoor and outdoor spaces much more accommodating to people who visit Lane County and wish to take advantage of concerts, sporting events, and our great outdoors. And in the last part of the show, we'll hear about a program on the coast to help fund environmental sustainability. That's next on Oregon on the Record. Whether it's a wheelchair ramp or an audio assistance device, accessibility to those with disabilities is a critical part of service in a community. Today on the show, you'll hear how the organization aimed at attracting visitors is also focused on removing barriers to accessibility when they get here. Samara Phelps, the president and CEO of Travel Lane County, and Andy Vabora, vice president of stakeholder relations. Thanks to you both for coming in and chatting.
Thanks for having us here.
Yeah, you know, Samara, I'm thinking, you know, obviously we talk a lot about your role in trying to bring people to Lane County, but why don't you talk about your role to provide sort of the accessibility once they're here?
Yeah, as you know, our role is to bring in mm-hmm. visitors and provide amazing experiences. And our value as an organization is to make sure that everyone who comes to visit has a place to go mm-hmm. and they also have a thing to do.
Yeah.
And we know that not all of us need the same tools to mm-hmm. be able to access those experiences. So it's really exciting to be part of an organization that has leaned into saying, okay, what is it that people need to be able to have those experiences that we think of are as iconic and the reasons why we love to live here, the reasons we love to visit.
Okay. So Andy, kind of take us through that in terms of like, how do you evaluate accessibility issues or accessibility, both challenges and solutions for people who want to, you know, see a show, attend an event, take advantage of all that Lane County offers?
Fortunately, we have some really great partners.
Okay.
And I think that's where it started for us a few years ago as the board developed a new strategic plan, and one of their lenses that they wanted us to look at in terms of our work was accessibility.
Okay.
And we came across Ginevra Ralph and Sue Pritchard and their work through a group called Loop Lane that then became Loop Oregon and mm-hmm. now is nationwide as the Center for Hearing Access. And they continued that work right out of the Shedd Institute for the Arts, where they started working on, first of all, looping with a hearing loop their main hall so that people coming to shows and events there at the Shedd who had hearing loss could enjoy that show as much as anyone else. And so that really was a kind of a spark in the community, and it's grown throughout the state and nationwide now. And so when we saw that and we started to learn more about, you know, just how many people have different disabilities, it really got us thinking about it. And so it led into a hearing loop program where mm-hmm. we were able to outfit a number of hotels, front desks at, you know, museums and other performance venues that really, again, you know, provide that equal playing field for, you know, people of all abilities to enjoy those experiences.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I almost hate to say this, but there tends to be a stereotype when you say accessibility. I think many of us automatically think of mobility challenges. But, you know, Samara, talk about that a little bit more. It's like, obviously, you know, people who can't hear, you know, something, that's an accessibility issue that's enormous for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is an easy default, I think, for many of us to think about it from a mobility perspective. And that is definitely a space that we've worked in mm-hmm. improving mobility. Access and access for folks who need a device to move through the space. But we also have the leadership in the hearing loops. There's also a lot of work around the sensory experiences. And the thing that we've been learning through this process of working with community leaders is the number one thing that we can do as business owners, as experience deliverers is to provide information so that the user knows what that experience is, so they can either ask for the accommodation that they need or they can come prepared for that experience. So if you are someone who is sensitive to light, knowing what kind of light is there. If you are sensitive to sound, whether that's because you have barriers or a sensitivity, to know what kind of environment is offered in an individual business, and for that business to then know how they could accommodate that, makes that experience more inclusive.
Yeah. And Samara makes a really good point about the kind of the role for us in terms of just providing that information. It spans all types of experiences. And so one of the things we learned for the outdoor experiences is that all of us need to know information about trails, right? Mm. So whether you're going to hike that trail, or you're going to take your father, or you're going to take your kids, who may not have any kind of disability in your opinion, you still want to know about, you know, what's the slope of that? You know, how hard is that trail? Is it appropriate? And so as we look at, you know, assessing trails for people of all abilities, everybody wants that information. And then it's up to the individual to decide, okay, with my abilities, can I use that trail and enjoy this experience?
When you're talking to those groups from out of town or out of state, do they ask? I mean, has that become more of an ask? Is, hey, I've got groups that have challenges. How can you accommodate them?
Absolutely. We're seeing it as a growing market. Recent research by Travel Oregon, the state tourism entity, is about 1 in 5 visitors to Oregon has a disability that needs an accommodation of some kind. So yes, people are in need of it. And also people have the sophistication that they expect to be able to come into a community that understands that as well. So it's for us, an alignment between there is this growing market, growing understanding within the market. So there's that opportunity from a business perspective and a strong alignment with who our community is. Our community has been leaders in accessibility from Lane Transit District to Eugene Parks and Rec, to nonprofit leaders in our community. We've had strong accessibility voices in the community, and this gives us an opportunity to be able to highlight that and leverage that for those customers as they come in. So yes, we're seeing more folks asking for it, needing it. An aging population inherently needs it. And so it's a great business opportunity for our partners, but it's also the customer service that we'd like to be able to provide.
Yeah.
And sometimes those opportunities just come to us. The Para National Championships will be contested here at the end of July, 1st of August. And this is the first time in history that the Paranational Championships will be paired with the USATF National Championships. So it's really a great opportunity to have a whole bunch of people with various disabilities who will be competing at Hayward Field come into our community and experience all this great work that's been done over history and all the great work that's currently going on to welcome all visitors.
Yeah. Let me reintroduce you both to the audience. We're talking with Samara Phelps, who is the president and CEO, and Andy Vabor, the vice president of stakeholder relations, both with Travel Lane County. You know, Andy, you and I have talked many times about the fact that it's a very competitive industry. I mean, organizations can pick and choose where they want to go, where they want to host their venues, their concerts, their sporting events. It sounds like in many ways, this is another kind of a selling point for when you're going out and courting that kind of traffic.
That's definitely the case. And, you know, different communities around the country are starting to focus on this more because there's an understanding that people with disabilities, one, enjoy travel just like everyone else, and they have a lot of money to spend on travel. And so it is important that we think about those different opportunities that we have and really leverage everything that's been going on. So at the again, going back to our partners, you know, there's this recognition statewide that we really want to embrace accessibility. So right from the top at Travel Oregon, with funding of grants to different organizations like ours throughout the state to improve accessibility, to our regional partners and DMOs like Travel Lane County, everybody's kind of working together and working towards putting Oregon on the map in terms of being the first state to be destination certified through a group called Wheel the World. Wheel the World is a an online travel service. It's a kind of a go-to for people with disabilities. They do assessments in communities to look at businesses and other organizations in terms of their accessibility, and they post that. So again, that the user can go find that information. But once you're on that platform, lots of eyes are looking at that and making decisions about where they're going to travel. And so, again, we're really fortunate to be part of a group that's working to put Oregon on the map. And we want to be leaders within Oregon to be the most accessible destination within Oregon.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think to Andy's point about wanting to be the most accessible destination in Oregon and where we're seeing leadership, specifically the city of Florence with the work led by the Chamber of Commerce, it is one of the first in the nation certified by that Wheel the World organization. So we're really leveraging leadership from across the entire county when we make that statement of wanting to be the most accessible destination in Oregon. And there are a lot of my partners who are doing some really amazing work. So that's a high bar.
Yeah.
And we're all out to kind of challenge each other to do better and to provide the access.
I imagine some challenges would still exist because obviously, and I know a lot of infrastructure is sort of governed by the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, but you know, that doesn't cover everything. And I imagine, you know, is it that you guys kind of work with your partners to see where, you know, maybe there's accessibility that still needs to happen? Kind of talk a little bit about how, you know, from where you are today to maybe where you want to get to.
That's an excellent point. I think the Americans with Disabilities, the ADA, is a foundation. It's a compliance. We're really approaching this from a customer service and experience tool.
Okay.
And so accommodation could be a large print menu at your restaurant. It could be lighting alternatives in a hotel room. These are things that may not be listed from a compliance standpoint, but greatly improve the experience for the guest and, as an employee, the service that you're able to offer that individual. What we did as an organization to kind of build our awareness about what all could be included in accessibility as a value is we worked with the organization called Visitable to do training. So all of our staff were trained, and our board also had access to that training to be able to have a certificate as an advocate for accessibility and inclusion in the hospitality industry. And so that's a partner project that we're able to offer partners as well. But it's that idea of how to stay curious about what, as you move through the world, could be made more accessible or what somebody else might need. Take on somebody else's perspective is the thing that I found most valuable and challenging in that, is that ability to say, I move through the world this way. Not everybody's going to have the same experience. I wonder what that would mean for someone else.
Yeah.
And in a couple of hours, we're going to have a meeting with a group of our partners. And one of the things we talk about, many of these are hotel partners, one of the things that we talk about with them is just to have this awareness that when you're making improvements, to really have accessibility on your mind. Hotels go through a cycle of updating rooms every 4 or 5 years. And it's a great opportunity for them, if it's top of mind, to think, oh, what could I do to make this room more accessible? And so those are some of the tools and education that we like to provide to them. They're the ones that are going to implement it. But if you make them aware of it, many are willing to step up and make those facilities more accessible.
Yeah. You know, Andy, I'm going to stick with you for a second because I've talked to many planners and I've come to learn, you know, that they sort of look at the world in sort of two parts. There's the built environment, which is cities and whatnot. But of course, you know, obviously we're extremely well known for the outdoor spaces, which I understand can't necessarily be made perfectly accommodating to everybody. But you touched on this earlier, but I just wanted to kind of pull the thread a little bit more about, you know, ways in which, you know, we can make our amazing outdoor spaces, you know, if not 100% accessible, at least you know, better than maybe perhaps what they have been.
Well, a couple of really concrete examples that we've again been able to work with different partners on are what are called Mobi mats. So Mobi mats are kind of a rollout plastic hard surface that creates a walkway to go across the sand to allow people, whether it's a mother with a stroller, a person with a walker, or someone in a wheelchair, to get across the open sand out closer to the beach.
Oh, wow.
Our beaches are one of our most visited, if not the most visited destination within our region. And so working with county parks and other partners at our Oregon Coast Visitors Association, where you've started to see this pop up and up and down the coast. We've got that at Hacienda Beach. The second thing that we've done is partner with, again, parks and other groups on placing what are called track chairs. It's through a program called David's Chair at both Hacienda Beach and then at Mount Pisgah. And this allows people who are mobility challenged to get out and enjoy those parts of our community as anyone would. And the great part about those are they're free. So all people have to do is to register and sign up for it, and they can and take those out. So it not only serves our visitors coming in, but it also serves residents who want to enjoy those experiences as well. So so it's those kinds of programs that allow people to get out into nature.
We also have some community partners up in Oak Ridge and the McKenzie River Corridor that are doing really exciting and innovative projects to bring mountain biking into a more accessible space, whether that's your skills. If you're like me and you need a rudimentary trail, being in the hub for mountain biking is not necessarily super inviting to me, but a more accessible trail for my skill level is needed, but also from a device perspective. And so there is leadership happening in the community to help develop the Death Ball Complex out of the McKenzie River Corridor, as well as a set of stacked loops in the trail system for Oak Ridge that would make that a more accessible. It's what we're known for, and make that more accessible for all skill levels.
Yeah. Samara Phelps, the president and CEO, and Andy Vibora, the vice president of stakeholder relations for Traveling County. Appreciate you guys coming in and chatting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now we'll go out to the coast to talk with an organization aimed at funding environmental sustainabilities through tourism dollars. Finn Johnson, the North Coast Destination Stewardship Manager at the Oregon Coast Visitors Association. Thanks so much for coming on and talking to us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're part of this new program that's being rolled out called Every Stay Gives Back. What is it? What does it do?
As the destination management organization for the Oregon Coast, we've been focusing on strategies to send dollars from tourism towards environmental restoration and protection projects. So this program is a partnership between us, Kind Traveler, hotels along the coast, and nonprofits who are receiving donations essentially from the hotels to carry out really good work on the coast.
Nice. What are some of those nonprofits that are receiving this these donations?
We've actually got 9 nonprofits all along the coast who are receiving funds. Great example is the Alaka Alliance on the South Coast. We have a hotel, Wildflower Inn in Gold Beach, that is contributing $1 per stay towards the Alaka Alliance, which is an organization that is focused on bringing a keystone species, the sea otter, back to the Oregon coast.
Yeah. That's cool. In fact, I think I've talked to them before, and that is exciting. You know, kind of what was the genesis of this? Talk about kind of why you wanted to form this partnership, and specifically, you know, obviously the coast is such a favorite place to go for many Oregonians, but also it's a pretty sensitive ecosystem, isn't it? What were kind of the things that you and other folks, other interested parties in the on the coast, thinking that this could help you do?
Yeah, one of the big goals from the tourism industry in Oregon has been to reduce the impact of tourism, the negative impacts, and then also increase the positive impacts. We've been using the word regenerative tourism, and the idea is that, you know, every person who visits a place should make that place better. So this was a strategy that we had been talking about. There's some sort of language, jargony language that we've been using, like opt-out donation systems or funding streams for nonprofits that we could set up from the tourism world. And this was this partnership with Kind Traveler essentially was a way to facilitate that $1 per night or every stay gives back idea. So the idea is that, you know, every person who's coming to the coast, who's visiting it, can make the coast better.
Are you finding that that people really like this idea of giving back, even though, you know, through their expenditures? The idea that, yeah, I want to go and have a wonderful time at the coast, you know, go to a restaurant, stay at a hotel, but I also, you know, I want to feel good about the actions and the travel that I'm doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that was a, you know, that was a big conversation that we've also been having. There's been some data that's been produced by kind of the major travel reporting organizations, which are Expedia and Booking.com. And they've put out for the last couple of years sustainability reports. And those have been super interesting from the global travel trends perspective, because what they've highlighted is that, you know, kind of the range, depending on who you're asking, 70 to 90% of folks who are traveling are really interested in, you know, feeling good about that travel, you know, by traveling sustainably or eco-consciously, or, you know, regeneratively, leaving that place better.
Mm-hmm.
And the flip side is, you know, about 50% of those folks that were surveyed by those different reports didn't really know how to do that. So, you know, there's sort of a gap between intention and action. And I think that, you know, that's really the space that we've been trying to fill. We've been trying to offer a really easy way to feel good, to, you know, to do that thing that a lot of folks are saying they want to do, which is leave a place better than they found it.
He's Finn Johnson. He's the North Coast Destination Stewardship Manager for the Oregon Coast Visitors Association. We've been talking about their program, Every Stay Gives Back. Finn, thanks so much for coming on and talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Oregon's timber industry isn't what it once was, but new technologies are leading a resurgence. Monday on the show, we talk with OSU's College of Forestry and the Tallwood Design Institute about mass timber. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.